Lord, a hand today. Amen. Thank you. You guys did a wonderful job. Since it's Father's Day, I thought it'd be a good day to tell a dad joke. So you guys know what the difference is between a dad joke and a bad joke? One starts with a B and the other one starts with a D. So, but now I got, I say it, since it's Father's Day, got a dad joke, fishing story, you know, those kind of go hand in hand, but some of you maybe heard this one before, but there was a three ministers that went out fishing on a fishing trip. There was a Catholic priest, a Baptist minister, and a Pentecostal minister. And they're out fishing for a while. They're out there for a half hour, 45 minutes or so. All of a sudden, the Catholic priest cast out his fishing rod, and all of a sudden, it gets stuck. He gets out of the boat, walks across the water, unhooks his fishing lure, gets and walks back, gets in the boat. Pentecostal minister looks at the Baptist minister, and he's kind of wide-eyed looking at him like, what in the world? A little while later, there's fishing going on along there, and all of a sudden, the Baptist minister, he casts his reel out. His reel gets caught on something. He gets out of the boat, walks across the water, unhooks it, walks back, gets in the boat. Pentecostal's looking there. He's like, what in the world? He goes, I heard about Jesus walking on water, but this is crazy. After a little while, all of a sudden, he casts out his reel. His fishing rod gets stuck. His reel gets stuck. He's like, what? He goes, well, you know what? He goes, if a Catholic priest can walk on water and a Baptist minister can walk on water, I'm Pentecostal. I know that I can walk on water. He gets out of that boat and goes, whoom, sinks right to the bottom. Catholic priest looked over the Baptist minister. He's like, you think we should tell him where the stones are? So that reminds me, if anybody's interested in a boat or an ark, just let me know. I know a guy. I can help you out and hook you up there. All right, so it's good to see each and every one of you. Glad that you come to worship with us today. Can we pray over the word today? Father God, we thank you for the joy. God, we thank you for the joy of the Lord is our strength. God, we thank you for this day to celebrate our fathers. God, we thank you for the blessing they are. God, we pray for those that maybe their father's not here today, God. And God, we just pray for strength for them, dear Lord God, or maybe those that have never had a father, dear Lord God, we pray for them as well, dear Lord, that's been there for them. Father God, we just pray for strength for them. And God, we just thank you for that. God, we just celebrate you, though, God, that you are our heavenly Father, that you're a good, good Father, God, that we can trust and lean on you. God, we just pray that you minister and have your way today in this service. Have your way through the word. God, let me be your mouthpiece. Let me be your voice. And God, may I give you all the glory. May we give you all the honor. In Jesus' name, everybody shout amen. 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 So over the past few weeks, we've been kind of on a journey together. A couple weeks ago, we talked about being a chosen generation, that we've been chosen by God. We talked about 1 Peter 2 and 9. It says, but you are a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation, God's own special people. And then last week, we talked about our identity and how it's not found in the world and our purpose, but our purpose is found in Christ, that we've been chosen and set apart. And, you know, we talked about Esther last week, how she had been called to the kingdom for such a time as this. You know, God did not place us here on this earth by accident, but he positioned us in this time in history, in this generation. He intentionally placed us here, strategically placed us here, purposely placed us here today for such a time as this. And today I want to talk to you today, if we are chosen by God, if we've been called for such a time as this, then how are we going to respond? If we've been chosen by God, if we've been called for such a time as this, how are we going to respond? Will we follow Christ wholeheartedly, or will we simply go along with culture that's around us? Will we stand for God when others compromise? Will our faith impact our homes, and will it impact future generations? We can look at Joshua. Joshua has an answer for this question with one of the most powerful declarations in all of Scripture. Let's look at Joshua 24 and 13. This is Joshua at the end of his life, and he's standing before the children of Israel, and he's sharing with them. He said, this is what the Lord said, I have given to you a land which you did not labor, and cities which you did not build, and you dwell in them. You eat of the vineyards and olive groves and which you did not plant. Now therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river in Egypt. Serve the Lord, and if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, he said, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the god of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." He said, you can choose who you want to serve. You can do what you want to do. But he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You see, when Joshua's life was over, he wasn't remembered simply just because he conquered cities. But he was remembered because he was a man that remained faithful to God's promises. He was committed to the call upon his life. In many ways, Joshua could have echoed the words that Apostle Paul wrote many years later. He said, "I have fought the good fight. I have run the race. And I have kept the faith." And just like Joshua, we have been chosen and we have been called by God. But will we remain faithful? Will we remain committed to the very end? The choice is yours. The choice is yours today. So like I said, we can see here that Joshua gathers the nations together near the end of his life. And before he challenges, he reminds them of God's faithfulness. He starts to remind them of God's faithfulness. He talks about how God called Abraham and how God called Isaac and Jacob and how God called Moses and how God delivered them out of Egypt and how God parted the Red Sea and how God provided in the wilderness and how God defeated their enemies and how God gave them the promised land. Then Joshua says, choose, choose, choose. Choose, Joshua 24:15. Choose for yourself this day who you are. Will serve. How many of you know that we have to make a choice? It's up to us to make the choice. Our parents can't make the choice for us. Our grandparents can't make the choice for us. Our friends can't make the choice for us. We have to make the choice. In other words, Joshua's saying, God has done his part. God has been faithful. He's provided time and time again. Now you must choose. You must choose. How many know that every person and every generation must make a choice? Each and every one of us must make the choice. God has always placed a choice before his people. We have a choice each and every day. Look at Deuteronomy 30, 19 through 20. It says, "I call heaven and earth as witness today against you that I have set before you," what? "Life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life." He said, "I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. You have a choice. Choose life that both you and what? Your descendants may live. That you may love the Lord your God. And that you may obey his voice. And that you may cling to him." How many know that we need to cling to God? We need to cling to his word. We need to cling to his promises. We need to cling to his truth. "For he is your life. He's my life. He's my source. He's my strength. The length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them." You have a choice today. Each and every one of us have a choice. We have a choice between life and death. We have a choice between blessing and cursing. We have a choice whether we can serve the things of this world or we can serve God. We have to make the choice. Making the choice is just the beginning. Sooner or later, every believer will face moments when they must take a stand. We're going to have to make a choice, but sooner or later, how many know that we are going to have to make a stand sooner or later? Amen. I got a little ahead of myself. Talking about making the choice, there's another choice that Elijah challenges the people in 1 Kings 18 and 21. And Elijah came to all the people and said, "How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him." But the people answered him not a word. He said, "Listen, how long are you going to go back and forth between God? Are you going to be hot? You're going to be cold? You're going to be lukewarm?" The Bible says that if you're hot, cold, lukewarm, that he will spew you out. He said, "Don't quit going back and forth. You need to make a decision." And notice what that happened. The people didn't answer. They didn't answer a word. They didn't say a thing. You see, the reality is that each and every one of us has that choice. Who or what will we serve? Some serve money, some serve pleasure, some serve addictions, some serve success, or some serve popularity and power and comfort and approval, or some just serve themselves. Everyone has served something, but who or what will we serve? Who or what will we serve? Joshua says, "Choose this day who you will serve." In other words, choose who or what will sit on the throne of your heart. Who or what is going to sit on the throne of our heart? We need to realize that faith is personal. Faith in God is personal. Amen. Your parents can't choose it for you. I talked about it. Your grandparents can't choose it for you. Your friends can't choose it for you. Your pastor can't choose it for you. You must choose. You must make the choice. Are you going to follow God or are you going to follow the world? Every generation, every person must personally surrender to God. Every person must have a personal relationship with God before Joshua could lead a nation, before he could influence a family, before he could leave a legacy. He had to make the choice. And before we can influence anyone else, we must first make the choice that I will serve the Lord. I must make the choice. You must make the choice that I will serve the Lord. And like I said, sooner or later, every believer will face a moment. They have to make that choice, but we're going to have to stand. How many know we got to stand for what we believe in? We got to stand for what is right. We got to stand for what is truth. So Joshua made the choice. He said, as for me and my house, he said, we're going to serve the Lord. I make a choice. I'm going to take a stand. And each and every one of us needs to take a stand. We must take a stand. Joshua, before he was a leader, Joshua was willing to take a stand. I remember the story of the 12 spies. 12 spies, they sent the 12 spies into the land. They got to the promised land. Moses was leading them, and he sent in the 12 spies, and they came back with a report. 10 came back with a negative report. They talked about the giants. They talked about the obstacles. They talked about all the negative things. 10 came back, but Joshua and Caleb came back with a good report. They said, yeah, there's giants in the land, but God, this is truly the land that God has called us to. This is the land that God has promised us, Numbers 14:7. And they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, the land we passed through to spy out is exceedingly good land. They're like, this is good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us in this land and give it to us. A land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not, said, only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. How many know that when the Lord is with you, it doesn't matter if there's one, if there's two, if there's three or four. How many know that you're already a mighty army, amen? How many know that you can overcome the enemy, amen, that you can defeat the forces of the enemy? If the Lord is with you, if he's by your side, if the Lord is leading you, he's guiding you, he's directing you, you do not have to fear. You do not have to be afraid because God is with you. Can somebody give him praise? The majority said, we can't, but Joshua and Caleb said, with God, we can. I can't do it on my own. I can't face the giants on my own. I can't go through the storms on my own. I can't face the trials. I can't get over this mountain on my own, but with God, I can. The majority saw the obstacles, but Joshua and Caleb saw the opportunity. The crowd saw the giants, but Joshua and Caleb saw the promises. They saw the promises. We have an opportunity every day. We can look at what we're facing, what we're going through, and we can either see God or we can see the obstacles. We can see the obstacles or we can see the opportunities. Standing for God has never been easy. It's never been popular, especially in today's world and today's culture. But Noah stood up in a corrupt generation. Daniel stood when they told him he couldn't pray. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood even though they faced the fiery furnace. Esther stood when her life was on the line. And the apostles, they stood even though they faced a ridicule, even though they were beaten and thrown in prison, even though they were beheaded, even though they laid down their life, and Joshua and Caleb stood, and now God is calling us to stand. He's calling this generation to stand. Standing for God has never been easy, but it's always been worth it. It's never been easy, but it's always been worth it. How many know that we need to stand in faith? You need to stand for your faith. You need to stand for what you believe in. Jude 1:3 says, dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about salvation we share, I felt compelled to write and urge you to contend. Contend, what does that mean? To fight. To fight for the faith that once was also all entrusted to God's holy people. We need to contend. We need to fight for the faith. We live in a world that's constantly pressures believers to compromise. They want us to compromise our faith. They want us to compromise the truth. The truth is questioned. Convictions are challenged. Biblical values are attacked. Yet God's word remains unchanged. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It does not change. If God said it, if God promised it, he's able to bring it to pass. Isaiah 40:8 says the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word. Somebody say, but the word. But the word of God stands forever. But the word of God stands forever and ever and ever. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God will stand forever. Church, every generation must decide whether it will compromise the truth or contend and fight for the truth and fight for our faith. We need to stand for what is right. We need to stand for what is truth. We need to proclaim the word of God, and we need to fight for our faith. Can somebody say amen? Next, you need to stand for your family. You need to stand for your family. How many know one of the greatest battles in our culture is being fought in our homes? The enemy wants to divide homes. He wants to separate homes. The enemy knows that if he can weaken the family, he can weaken society. If he can weaken the family, he can weaken society. That's why we must stand. I like Ephesians 6, 10 through 13. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Notice where our strength is. The strength is not in self. Strength is not in the things of this world. He said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. In order to stand, we got to put on the whole armor, yet that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Notice, he says, our fight is not with one another. It's not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, and against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and doing all you can to do to stand. Verse 14, the first part of it says, stand. When you've done all you can do to stand, the battle, we need to realize, is not against flesh and blood. The enemy wants you to think the battle is against your neighbor. It's against your husband. It's against your wife. They want you to think the fight is against your son. It's against your daughter. It's against your cousin. It's against your grandma or grandpa. That's what the enemy wants you to think. He wants you to think the fight is against your family, but that's not where the fight is. There's a spiritual battle that's going on. Amen. And that's why we got to put on the whole armor of God. Amen. Each and every day, not once in a while, not bits and pieces of the armor, but we got to put on the whole armor, because there's a spiritual battle going on for families today. Amen. There's battles going on, and when we've done all we can do to stand, it says stand. We got to stand for our marriages. We got to stand for our children. We got to stand in prayer. We got to stand for biblical truth. We got to stand for what is right. We must be willing to stand and fight for our families. Can somebody give him praise? We got to be willing to fight for the family. We got to fight for the mother and father, the husband, the son, the daughter, our children. Amen. We got to fight. Next, we got to be willing to stand for freedom. You got to stand for your freedom. Galatians 5 and 1 says, Christ has set us free to live free. Christ has set us free so that we can live free. If you notice the children of Israel, they were delivered out of Egypt, but they wandered in the wilderness. Why? Because Egypt was never delivered out of them. Christ set them free from Egypt, but they still had Egypt living in them. They kept wanting to go back to slavery. They kept wanting to go back to bondage. They wanted to keep going back. They said, we've been better off eating leeks and onions and garlic and everything else. Here, God had set them free. God parted the waters. He performed miracles and signs and wonders, continued to provide for them, but they kept saying, we'd be better off back there. Sometimes people are living like that. God wants to set you free. He wants to save you, but not only does he want to save you, but he wants to set you free from the bondages, from the strongholds. Amen. He said, so take your stand. Christ has set us free that we can live free. So take your stand. Take your stand. Never again let everyone put a harness of slavery on you. Never again let the enemy bring up your past, your failures, your flaws, your mistakes. Jesus came to set people free. He came to set us free from bondage and sin and sickness and shame and fear and worry and all these things. He came to set us free. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. Somebody give him praise. We must protect and pass that freedom on to the next generation. The saying goes that if you don't stand for something, that you'll fall for anything. So it's so important that we stand for faith, that we stand for family, that we stand for freedom. And when you've done all you can do to stand, keep standing. Maybe somebody here today, maybe you've been praying. You've been praying for a loved one, a friend, a son, a daughter. You've prayed, you've cried, you've believed. Maybe you've done all you know to do. I'm here to encourage you. Keep standing, keep praying, keep believing, keep trusting God. Don't give up, don't give in, don't surrender to society. Don't compromise your faith. Stand and set the example for the next generation. Set the example for your children. Joshua's declaration wasn't only personal, it was leadership. It was setting an example. I'm reminded of the scripture in the New Testament where Apostle Paul's talking to Timothy. He said, don't let anybody say anything to you about youth or how young you are, how old you are, whatever it may be. He said, but be an example in everything that you do. Be an example in word and deed and conversations, whatever you do, set the example. Joshua 24 and 15, he says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Notice Joshua didn't say, as for me and my neighbor. He said, as for me and my house. You see that revival begins in the home. Prayer begins in the home. Spiritual leadership begins in the home. Fathers, it starts with us. Leadership is about influence. Whether we realize it or not, someone's always watching us. Someone's always watching us. Your children are watching you. Your grandchildren are watching you. Your friends are watching you. Your coworkers are watching you. People may not remember the sermons we preach, the songs we sing, or the scriptures we share, but they will remember the life that we live. Set the example. Live a godly life. Proverbs 20 and 7 says, the righteous man walks in integrity, and his children are blessed after him. The righteous man walks in integrity, and his children are blessed after him. I can say that I'm blessed because I've got a father that has always walked in integrity. I've got a mother that's always walked in integrity. And I've been blessed because of my parents. I thank God for that. One of the greatest gifts we can give our children is a godly example. We may not be perfect, but we can be faithful. We can serve the Lord. We can love the Lord. Proverbs 22 and 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. There may be a time where they walk away for a brief stint, for a few years or for a while, but hold on to the promise. Hold on to the truth. If you train them up in the Word of God, if you train them up in the truth and in the Word, I'm here to tell you, they may run, they may hide, but they're going to come running back to God one day. I believe that our sons and daughters, I believe that for somebody today, you've been praying for a son, you've been praying for a daughter. They've been running, but here before long, I believe they're going to be coming running to the Father's arms. Amen. Just like the prodigal son, they're going to be coming running home. Can somebody give him praise? How many know that children learn what matters by watching what matters? Children learn what matters by watching what matters. If prayer matters to us, it'll matter to them. If worship matters to us, it'll matter to them. If church matters to us, it'll matter to them. If serving God matters to us, it'll matter to them. We must leave a legacy for the next generation. We got to set an example, and we got to leave a legacy to the next generation. Joshua 24, 31, it said that Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua. Wow. What a powerful statement. They served the Lord all the days of Joshua. And notice what it says after that. And all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua. So it didn't just stop with Joshua. He set the example and he left a legacy because it said all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had known all the works of the Lord which he had done for Israel. So Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days after that. What an incredible statement. Joshua's influence outlived him. His faith outlived him. His example outlived him. His leadership outlived him. He left a spiritual legacy for the next generation. And that's what we need to do. We need to leave a legacy. So what is a spiritual legacy? A spiritual legacy is not about the money you inherit. It's not about the property that can be inherited. It's not about the possessions that are inherited. But it's faith that's been imparted, character that must be modeled, and integrity that must be demonstrated. I thank God for the spiritual legacy that my parents have left me, for the godly example that they have imparted into me, for the faith that he imparted me, for the prayers over me, for the faith that they and the strength and encouragement that they placed in my lives. Listen, every generation has a responsibility to pass faith on to the next generation. It's our responsibility. It's not the pastor's responsibility. It's not the school teacher's responsibility. But it's our responsibility to pass it on to the next generation. Psalms 45 and 4 says, one generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. We are that generation, one generation. We're that generation. We need to be declaring the works of the Lord. We need to be declaring his faithfulness. We need to be declaring, look what the Lord has done for me. And if he did it for me, he can do it for you. But listen, here's a warning. We're only one generation away from people forgetting what God has done. Here's a warning. We're only one generation away from people forgetting what God has done. Look at Judges 2 and 10. When all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord, nor the work which he had done for Israel. Why? Because they weren't passing it on to the next generation. We must tell the next generation. We must tell our children, we must tell our grandchildren, and we must leave a legacy. I like what 2 Timothy 1 and 5 says. He said, I remember your sincere and unqualified faith, the surrendering of your entire self to God in Christ with confident trust in his power, wisdom, and goodness, a faith which first lived in the heart of your grandmother. Notice that. He said, a faith which first lived where? In the heart of your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I'm confident that it is in you as well. It's a faith. It's a relationship that was passed on from generation to generation to generation. And that's what we need to do. We need to be passing and imparting the word of God, his truth, his word to the next generation. Timothy's faith was passed down. One generation influenced the next and the next. A legacy is not built in one day, but it's daily. It's daily. It's a daily walk with God. It's daily taking up your cross and following him. A legacy isn't built in a moment. It's built one decision at a time. One decision at a time, one prayer at a time, one act of obedience at a time, one day at a time. The little things become the big things. Listen, never underestimate what God can do through one faithful life. Never underestimate what God can do through one faithful life. Joshua left a legacy that could be summed up in one statement. As for me and my house, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Listen, when we look at Joshua's life, we see more than a leader. We see a blueprint. We need to make the choice. Who or what are we going to serve? We need to take a stand for what we believe in. Stand for our family. Stand for our faith. Stand for our freedoms. We need to set an example by the way we live, and we need to leave a legacy. We need to pass it on to the next generation. The question for us today is, will we choose God? Will we stand when others compromise? Will we lead our families towards Christ? Will we leave a legacy of faith for future generations? Because one day our careers will end. Our accomplishments will fade. Our titles will disappear. But the legacy we leave can continue long after we're gone. Come on, go ahead and give God praise. Listen, just like Joshua, we've been chosen and called, but will we remain committed? Will we remain committed to the very end? Like Apostle Paul said, I have fought the good fight, I have run the race, and I have kept the faith. It's not always easy, saints of God, but I'm going to keep on fighting. I'm going to keep on running, and I'm going to keep the faith. Therefore, there's a treasure laid up for me in heaven. There's a great reward that's laid up for us in heaven. Keep fighting, keep running, and keep holding on to the faith. Listen, the choice is yours. May our children know God. May our grandchildren know God. May our homes be places where Christ is honored. And may our testimony be, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Would you stand with me today? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this word today. God, help us to be fathers. Help us to be mothers, to stand